Holiday doorbuster deals are on at Lowe's. Today only, get select one-quart poinsettias and select translucent plant saucers for $1 each. That means for a limited time, you can decorate to get in the Christmas spirit for less. Shop in-store to make sure you don't miss out on big savings all day. But hurry, these offers won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid 11/28, in-store only, limit 16 per person. Selection varies by location, while supplies last.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Swinging a high drive into center field. Hits at the wall. It is gone! Cassis does it again.
Again.
It's gone! It's into the bullpen! This game is tied! This game is tied!
He swings and rips one to center field. It's high, it's deep, it's back, it's gone! Sale winds, he fires. Swing and a miss, strike three, it's over! The Red Sox have won the World Championship!
All right, we're back. It's Play Tessie episode 288. Remember to hit that subscribe button wherever you get your podcasts. Rate 5 stars. If you're new here, we do these podcasts 3 days a week. We'll have another one coming out on Friday, the day after Thanksgiving. We're at Play Tessie on all the socials, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter. Sammy's here. Pat's here. It's Gordo. All right, the breaking news of the day. The Red Sox traded for Cardinals starting pitcher Sonny Gray, and that's what this podcast is going to be today. Sox trade for Sonny Gray. They deal away Richard Fitz. They deal away Brandon Clark. Sonny Gray's a good pitcher. He's going to help the Red Sox, but I think I have to just kick the podcast off maybe in a little bit of a negative light with the caveat that he is a good pitcher that can start postseason games for the Red Sox. Lot to be excited about. He did have the fourth best strikeout to walk rate in baseball last year. Two straight 200K seasons. I get it. Like he's a Fenway Park fit. That said, my thought is that you can't judge the move until you see what else is done, because Sonny Gray is not a number two starter. He's not a number two starter, and the Red Sox are paying him $21 million. And either he's going to be the number two, and they'll go above and beyond with the offense like I think they need to do, or he's going to be a depth starting pitcher signing, probably like, or trade like he probably should be. They'll get another starting pitcher, but they'll leave the offense shortchanged. I do not think that they are going to blow our socks off here, get a number two starting pitcher, get two impact bats, and have Sonny Gray making $21 million in the middle of the rotation. I think the Red Sox had three major holes going into the offseason. I like Sonny Gray as a pitcher. I think they used a couple of good arms here and $21 million of their budget, and the move didn't really fill any of the three holes that they had. So call me down on the move. Again, I like the pitcher, but I was expecting a little bit more from the big trade. And there could be another big trade, but I think the Red Sox had enough ammo for one major trade, two big free agent expenditures, and this, because he's making $21 million, counts as one of the big money expenditures. So now I don't think there's really a path for them to fill all three of the other holes, which means at some level, I think we're going to be disappointed when it's all said and done the offseason. Don't want to get ahead of myself, but that's just where I'm at right now.
Yeah, don't want to get ahead of yourself. That's certainly
what's going on here. We look at baseball so differently, Gordo. I saw that move today and I thought, great, that's what I wanted Lucas Giolito to be, the veteran number four starter, logs a lot of innings. Fantastic. And they even got him for $1 million cheaper than Giolito would have cost in the qualifying offer. I don't like doing the math in my head where it's like, okay, they just spent this much of the payroll. They're going to have to do X, Y, and Z. We had this expectation at the start. The way I'm viewing this is the Red Sox got better today. They got a good deal on Sonny Gray. The Cardinals kicked in some money. That's fantastic. I never for a second thought they were getting two starting pitchers, two impact bats, and beefing up the bullpen, whatever else you wanted. So I like this move. I think there's almost no chance that Sonny Gray is the only starting pitcher added to the Red Sox rotation. Are they going to get someone better than Sonny Gray? I think yes. There's a chance they don't, but there's no shot that they're going into the 2026 season with Sonny Gray as your second best pitcher, or Brian Bello and Sonny Gray, whoever you want to put as the number two as things stand. I think that this is a sign that they are raising the floor. That was my concern when Giolito left. I think that the price in terms of prospects, or Fitz kind of sort of a prospect, I think he's a reliever. Brandon Clarke, people fell in love with him. I think he threw about 40 innings in single A. So that's fine. That's a fine price to pay. I'm happy the Red Sox got better today. There's still tons of room to work with the assets they have and the money they have. On we go.
Yeah, it's a weird trade in the sense that I, for one, think Sonny Gray is better than the numbers he put up last year. And the numbers he put up last year weren't even bad. Like, this isn't like the Walker Buehler all over again, where he was just absolute garbage all year. Like, this is different. This is a guy who was really good last year, struck out 200, and I think like 180 innings, right around there.
Right around, yeah.
So the other thing too is his advanced metrics, like his Sierra and all that stuff, looks really, really good. His XFIP, his FIP is really good. So like the metrics under the hood, he looks really, really solid. And he strikes guys out. He doesn't walk guys. He can pitch in a playoff game, and he eats innings. He's basically an enhanced version of Lucas Giolito, for being honest. Like that's how you look at this. If he pitches to his analytical kind of underlying data, sure, the ceiling of a good number two is there. I think the frustrating thing for me, and I'm sure a lot of people feel the same way, is if this is the move, like it feels like a gamble when we were – felt like we were kind of beyond the point of gambles and banking on upside. So I, for one, I'm not as nearly as confident. I still think they get another starter, like a real number two. I think they do. If they don't, the rotation on paper is better than last year. Do I still love the rotation? I don't, honestly. The good thing is you didn't really give up a ton. Like, and that's no disrespect to Richard Fitz. Richard Fitz is the man, friend of the program, good arm, all that. But he wasn't a guy who profiles as, you know, a 1, 2, or 3 in starting rotation. Brandon Clarke is one of the more volatile prospects in the Sox system. Guys see left hand pumps 100. Oh my God, he's Garrett Crochet. The secondaries haven't really developed. He hasn't really pitched a lot in the minors. Some places project him more as like a leverage reliever. Which I don't know if I'd go that far, but I think back end starter maybe. Like, you didn't really give up a ton. So you definitely still have ammo if you do want to go the route of a Joe Ryan, a Freddie Peralta, Sandy Alcantara, Mackenzie Gore. Like, you do still have plenty of ammo to do that. And all of those guys except Sandy are on rookie deals, so it's not going to kill you budget-wise. So if they go that route and this is like a complimentary piece to a number two, I mean, you have to love the Sox rotation if they can roll out Crochet, a number two, Gray, Bayo, and probably Connolly early, because I think Tolley needs a little bit of time to develop some secondaries in the minors. But yeah, it's the Sox got better today, like Sammy said. It's weird fit-wise right now because you don't really know is he the number two? Is he the Giolito replacement? It's going to be one of the moves that you can't really fully grade until like the second domino falls. But yeah, we'll see. They got better. They got better today, and I think that's indisputable. They got better today.
The one thing I won't fault them for is they clearly, if you're going to trade for Sonny Gray and pay him $21 million AAV, what that tells me is they saw the upper echelon of the starting pitcher free agents and said, we don't feel comfortable giving out a big deal to one of you guys. And I think that's totally fair. Don't give out a deal to one of those guys just because you need one in the year 2026. Like, if you're going to pay those guys, you better believe in them long term. That said, I still think that the door is open for them to trade for a number two, but it takes two to tango. We've lived this song and dance since we started this podcast. We have who says no's all the time, but the truth of the matter is a team has to want to deal one of those starting pitchers. And if you listen to those executives at the GM meetings, they all say they don't want to do it. Does that mean they won't do it? Not necessarily. They could do it, but the Red Sox at least now have maybe a backup plan. Like, you could go into the season as it stands right now, your rotation is basically what it was last year. If Sonny Gray gives you the results on the field that Lucas Giolito gave you last year, that's a big win. Like, we could talk about the metrics all we want, but for the last 2 years, Sonny Gray's been a 4 ERA pitcher. 30 starts a year on average, 4 ERA. I know he hasn't had good defense behind him, but that's the Red Sox aren't necessarily going to put the best defense behind him either. Like, he's a good pitcher, but he is 36 years old, and we're talking about metrics. Like, when I look at metrics, it's like, let's project this guy forward. We've seen this guy for close to 15 years. Like, we know what he is. He's a good pitcher. But I think anyone who's trying to trick themselves into thinking that he's a number two and a guy that you think you can put the team on his back in a playoff game, a guy who can, quote Craig Breslow, co-anchor a rotation with Garrett Crochet, I just don't think he's that. I think they can get another guy that is that, but he's making $21 million. So if you get that guy, that's your trade. You have ammo to make one big trade here. You have enough dollars to pay one big free agent. So if you're getting the number two starter, your rotation's in an awesome place, but it's going to leave the offense shortchanged. I just keep coming right back to that.
Yeah. The one thing I will say that is borderline encouraging for me, in a sense, is that he is 36. It is a one-year deal. So this more so to me feels like a placeholder for Toley. Like, they're going to let Toley really flesh out the secondaries. Next year, you kind of do whatever. It's kind of, I don't know the quote off the top of my head, but the way that Breslow has talked about this number two for majority of the offseason, it has really felt like he wants a guy who's going to be here for years to be a number two with Crochet. That's not Sonny Gray. Sonny Gray is a one-year deal. I'd be stunned if they picked up the club option, barring he is unbelievable. So that to me is a little bit encouraging in the sense that I still think they can go out and get a number two. So then next year you have whatever number two you have, or next year as in 27. Crochet, your number two, totally early Bayo. Like, there's definitely a framework where Sonny fits in that sense. But like you said, Gordo, it's not a cheap rental. You didn't really give up nothing. You didn't give up a lot, but you didn't give up nothing. And because of the cap hit, it's hard not to imagine that this is going to be Sonny Gray, a number two, Bregman, and then some form of complimentary bat when they need two big bats. So
I've got a little bit of a you go ahead, Sammy, that I've got a little bit of a theory. I'll follow you up.
Sure. I just wanted to squash one narrative before it even gets started. I see a lot of people referencing Sonny Gray's tenure with the Yankees and being concerned that he did not fare well in the AL East. I don't buy that at all. That was in 2017,
yeah.
Or 2018, sorry, was when he last pitched for the Yankees. And he wasn't good, I get that. But I think that's such a an overthink to think that just because of the division. I mean, he's had multiple good seasons. 2023, he had a 2.79 ERA over 32 starts. It was the Yankees, and he said it was the Yankees having him scrap one of the pitches that he normally used. Can't remember exactly what it was, but it was very, very public that he did not like the way the Yankees were using him. They were trying to change him. He had already been successful. It didn't really make sense. It wasn't a good match. Yankees are usually good with pitchers, but that doesn't mean they're going to be good with all of them. And I think that one it was just gross. It never worked out. And I don't think that is at all representative of the pitcher that the Red Sox are getting. I think that that is the furthest from who Sonny Gray is his time with the Yankees, his time with the A's, Cardinals, Reds. That's the guy who the Red Sox are getting.
Yeah, it's like, if you want to reference that stuff, like, people are going to try to reference mentality, right? Like, he's not mentally equipped to pitch in the AL East. And it's like, that's a guy in his 20s, and now he's a 36-year-old man. Like, this is a guy who's been around the block. He's been in Major League Baseball since he was 23. All right? Like, I may not necessarily think – I may not think he's going to be, like, a number two starter for the Red Sox or anything. But to think that he's going to fail because he didn't pitch well for the Yankees – like what, how many years ago is this now? 2018.
So 2018. He had a 4.490 ERA in 2018. I would be shocked if he had anything close to a 4.9 ERA with the Red Sox. I heard Eric Kratz talking about this today. Him being in the dugout with Sonny Gray, and Sonny Gray just saying, like, I just want to pitch how I pitch. They're trying to change who I am and everything. So I think if you're a Red Sox fan and the Yankees aspect is concerning you about Sonny Gray, please throw it out the window. That is not, I don't even think that's relevant.
The other thing too is, so he had that year with the Yankees in 2018. He had a 4.90 and 30 starts, which I get, like, scares people off. AL East, big market, whatever. Since then, his ERA in order, I am not skipping anything here. His ERAs since that season, 2.87, 3.70, 4.19, 3.08, 2.79, 3.84, 4.28. He's consistently mid to high threes, low fours. Like, that's as reliable gets. And then within that, whatever it is, 1, 2, 7 years, 8 years, he's gone over 160 innings, 1, 2, 3, 4 times, over 120, two more times than that. So he's innings, quality ERA, strikes out, doesn't walk, guys.
And Gordo, you made a good point. You mentioned the mentality aspect that people think that, oh, he couldn't handle New York, can't handle high pressure. He's pitched 30.1 innings, 30 and a third innings in the postseason as a 3.26 ERA. So he can handle
pressure. Oh, remember the A's? His first year with the A's, I fell in love back then.
Yeah, 8 innings here. Yeah, 8 shutout innings in his first postseason start. And then the next one, 5-3 runs. He even had a good postseason start with the Yankees. 5 innings, 1 earned run back in 2017. So there you go. It's don't overthink this. It's a good pitcher the Red Sox added.
Not denying that. Not you.
I mean, like, people, I've just seen so many people who were referencing the 2017 and 2018 season. It's almost 10 years ago, guys. Relax.
You can be a little bit down on the trade for what you think it means moving forward while acknowledging that the Red Sox added a quality pitcher here. And the key word is what Pat said. He's reliable. Doesn't walk anybody. Absolutely. He's going to give you innings. And, you know, he's just simply, he's going to pitch and he's not going to suck.
And if he's your game 4 starter in the playoffs, great. That's game 2. I don't love
even
that.
Three.
But game even 4.
Three. Even 3.
3 I'm okay with. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Holiday doorbuster deals are on at Lowe's. Today only. Get select 1-quart poinsettias and select translucent plant saucers for $1 each. That means for a limited time, you can decorate to get in the Christmas spirit for less. Shop in-store to make sure you don't miss out on big savings all day. But hurry, these offers won't last long. Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid 11/28. In-store only. Limit 16 per person. Selection varies by location. While supplies last.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
I have a question for you guys. Actually, I'll lay out. I'll get to my question later. We'll table that. I'll give you. I read the Alex Speer article today, and he said that his quote about pursuing additions beyond that their focus is on adding a big bat, and he basically said one of the Alonzo, Schwarber, Bregman. One of. He said beyond that, they'll be opportunistic. And that includes potentially adding another starting pitcher. Didn't specify whether that would be another starting pitcher as in a number two or another starting pitcher as in a depth, whatever. My theory here is that the Red Sox have now put themselves in a position, and this is fully off the top of my head. It's not like I haven't heard this or anything, but this is just, I'm using my own logic here. They've put themselves in a position, and if they sign, they've put themselves in a position pitching-wise where they don't absolutely need to add a number two starter today to make it through the regular season, get to the postseason. If you add a number two at the deadline, that works. If you wait a year and add a number two, it's not ideal, but you're a playoff team even as it stands now. If they sign, let's say, Pete Alonso or Kyle Schwarber, one of those two, not Alex Bregman, you're now putting yourselves in a position where, okay, you've come out even bat-wise. Now it's like, okay, where our plan is to add maybe a complimentary bat. Alex Bregman, here's a shitty offer. Like, if you really want to be here, take it. And Alex Bregman's going to draw it out and draw it out and draw it out. Scott Boras will draw it out to spring training. The Red Sox have to up their offer. You were so important to them last year. Maybe the Phillies jump in. I don't know. And the Red Sox will say exactly what they said to Boras when J.D. Martinez was a free agent back in before 2018. What they said to him last year with Alex Bregman. We have our offer here. We don't need you. You take it if you want. We would love to have you, but we don't need you. And it's the same thing with the starting pitcher trade market. We have a full rotation. We would love to have your Freddy Peralta. We would love to have your Joe Ryan. But if you're not willing to trade, we don't need to get desperate. So once they sign the big bat, they're in a position where they don't need to be desperate anywhere. But they can be, as Spear said, opportunistic if Alex Bregman will come down to their price or if the Twins will tango on a Joe Ryan deal or any of those teams for that matter.
I think if you don't add another starting pitcher, you suck. You're not good. You're not a good team. If you have Sonny Gray as your number two guy, Bayo, and then two question marks, 4 and 5, you are not that good. You would have to add some absurd amount of offense, which I don't think they're going to do. I think the most important thing still is to add a number two starter. That and Bregman. Those are my two big things right now. If you do that, and then you add like a secondary bat, it's not perfect. We'd be a little disappointed with the offense, but the biggest thing, like I said last episode, full season of Roman Anthony. You hope that's your guy. You hope. And I know it's not great to be relying on a guy of his age to carry so much of the load of the offense, but that's the caliber of player that the Red Sox think he is. That's the caliber of player I think he is. I think all of us do. So I think if you have to make a sacrifice, which you don't, but this is the way the Red Sox are operating, so you do. I think it's that second big bat. That's what where I think you go. You need a game two starter. You do not have that right now. You cannot win in the playoffs without a game two starter. You just, what do you do? What if you lose game one? You're done.
I agree with you, Sammy. I don't think they have a game two starter today, but let me ask you a question. Where do you turn if none of these teams want to give you anything close to, like, what if the ask, because like I'm sure they're asking like Roman Anthony right now. Like in November, I'm sure the offers, you want Peralta? Give us Roman, man. Give us all 9 years. What if none of those teams budge? Like where do you turn? Like if they clearly don't like any of the free agents. Like that's the problem. It's like where do you go if none of those teams will dance?
I mean, what are the odds that none of the pitchers we're talking about? We're talking about Peralta, Joe Ryan, Sandy, Gore. There's other guys. Like there's, I mean, you're I guess it could happen. I just think that's super, super unlikely. At that point, maybe you turn to a depth guy. You wait to the deadline. It's just not ideal at all. I think you have to, quote unquote, overpay.
I was going to say, in the same vein, like if you really cannot get these two teams to be realistic in, or not these two teams, if you can't get these teams, sorry, to be realistic in prices and you're kind of, your hands forced, dude, go get Merrill Kelly on a 1 year. Like, just get some mid-rotation, reliable veteran. And then hopefully, you know, deadline comes around, teams are willing to talk. And then at that point, you figure it out. But Yeah, you need, to me, you need one more starter before opening day to feel good. I would even say like Merrill Kelly makes you feel good about the opening day situation. That's the thing. You have depth. Like, not
you'd have
like
a chance to win every day at least. Yeah, not like, exciting though. It's we're thinking playoffs though. I just keep going back to the way I felt game two with Brian Baio and just being like, oh, I like Brian Baio, but I just don't feel great about this game. And look how it turned out.
To me, it really is about the game two thing though. Like I think they have enough starting pitching to, if they do the right things with the offense, even if they go 65% of what I want them to do with the offense, they'll make the playoffs. So like if your thought process is the Red Sox is we Joe Ryan, the price right now is ridiculous, but we know the Twins are going to be ass and we'll just wait for them to sweat it out at the deadline. Like that's not a horrible, it's a risky strategy because by the playoffs, you do need to have that guy. Like that has to be here by then. Otherwise you're in deep shit. But it might be the risk that they feel they can take now, because right now your rotation is basically in a better position than it was leading into last season. Because Sonny Gray basically replaces Giolito, but your depth is in a better place than it was last year.
Yeah, but that's not a World Series rotation.
No,
at
but,
all.
But it's a rotation to get you to the deadline. And if they don't do it at the deadline by that time, then we're talking failure.
Yep. Yeah. And I don't want it to get to the deadline. And you guys know why. We've seen what Breslow's done at the last two deadlines. He has not been good under pressure. Gordo, to answer your question, your original question, what do you do if these teams don't want to dance? I think you do what you did with the White Sox, where you blow them away. Two of your best prospects and some other prospects on top of that for Garrett Crochet. Remember how many people were saying, oh my God, that's an overpay. You know how insane that sounds 1 year later following the Garrett Crochet trade? I know the White Sox are happy with the return they got, but that's what you need to do for a guy like Freddy Peralta. If the Brewers don't want to move him, hey, we won 95 games. We're not sure we want to move Freddy Peralta. Be like, okay, fine. Have Connelly early, or here's Peyton Tolley, and there you go. And then they're all like, oh my God, this is a major league ready pitcher with 5-6 years of control. Okay, fine. Yeah, we'll do it. Here's our expiring ace. That's what I think you have to do. Really blow these teams away.
Well, here's a thought. If we're talking blow teams away here, Sammy, I know by the time we got to the postseason last year, it was clear that Brian Baio, whether he wore down or whether some things with his repertoire fell apart, like obviously he wasn't the same guy, but for the majority of the season last year, like he was a legitimate number two guy. He was six innings. He was a quality start every single time out there. That said, Sonny Gray, I think we can all agree, if he is the third best guy in your rotation, you're in a pretty good spot. Is it weird to wonder if Brian Baio maybe could be had in trade talks now?
No, I don't think that's strange. I think that would be in a move. That would be in a move for an older starting pitcher that is currently better than Brian Baio. Still, I don't think that the Red Sox move him. I like Baio. I think he has big upside. I think the changes he made after becoming a father, unbelievable how his attitude changed. I think that was a big storyline that kind of gets glossed over sometimes. So I'm not really in favor of trading Brian Baio, but you know, of course, I'd have to see what the move was to actually decide.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's likely, but I think it'd be kind of naive to rule it out, right? Like if, again, this is not something I think is even remotely possible, but if this is a scenario that came up, like if Detroit called, or you obviously you call Detroit. Detroit's not calling you to move Scooble, but you know what I mean. But if they're like early, you know, he's not, we're a winning team now. We don't really, you know, love the young upside arm. We want something a little bit more made man. Then Baio, like in a conversation like that, becomes interesting. Baio in a conversation with, if like Baio lightens the prospects going back for a Joe Ryan, like that kind of tracks. But there are other guys where it wouldn't make sense for him to be dealt in, meaning the Mackenzie Gores of the world, the Hunter Greens. There are certain teams where I could see, okay, I would move Brian Baio maybe.
You're talking about the team trading for Baio.
Yes. Right. Yes. Yeah. I think it's very situational on if I would give up Brian Baio or if teams would be interested in Baio. I would do it. I don't think it's likely, but I think, again, I think it's naive to rule out that it's a possibility.
Yeah, it's like, I remember some people brought this up before, and I'd always kind of not – I thought it was super unlikely just because if you traded Bayo in a deal to get the number two starter, guess what you're now in need of? A number three starter, right? So that's why I felt it was unlikely before, but now that piece is in the door. The real question in all of this is – and obviously they're going to make it sound – as if Sonny Gray is the number two starter, whether they see him as the number two starter or whether they see him as the number three or four. But that's the question here. Because if they see him as the number three or four, then yeah, I do think that there's no reason to think that Brian Bayo couldn't be had in trade talks. And this is a guy who, again, people forget how good he was last year. And he's got 5 years of team control. Like that is a guy with a lot of value that I would not put on the table for a rental. I would not be sending Brian Bayo to the Brewers for Freddie Peralta. I just wouldn't do it.
No, so, it's regressive. It just feels like okay. Actually, if the Brewers said we'll do Brian Bayo for Freddie Peralta, you'd have to consider that because you have to feel good about extending Peralta and then you figure out the depth starter after. That's an easier fix. But I get what you're saying, like
which you can do by the way with Sonny Gray being a 1 year, like that doesn't preclude you from extending anybody.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Sonny Gray, it gives you a lot of flexibility. That's why I think like when this trade happened and people were, flexibility.
Yeah,
shouldn't matter, but it does. And that's why when this trade happened and they kind of reworked the contract to essentially make it a 1 year deal, my alarms in my head went off like, oh, okay. So they're going to trade for the second pitcher. That makes so much sense because they're going to trade for one of these pitchers like Joe Ryan, Freddie Peralta, who's on a cheap contract in 2026. It's not going to crush the CBT. And then Sonny Gray's off the books, and then they extend those pitchers or they extend them, and then the contract kicks in the following year, I should say.
So I have a question. I should have known the answer to this before we got into this podcast. You're right, Sammy. They changed Sonny Gray's deal into a 1 year, but before that, it was a team option, right? So was this just like a thing to get Sonny Gray to approve a trade, even though Brezel said he was super excited about joining? Like, what was the – why did it change?
It was – I believe what happened was it was 25 with a $10 million buyout. So they converted it to a $31 million base salary. Cardinals are paying 20.
So, okay, it looks like before the trade, it was the $35 million – salary for 2026, and then a $30 million team option that came with a $5 million buyout.
Yeah, they just kind of restructured it to make it work for the Red Sox itself.
But it took away the team option. So really, it doesn't...
But it increased his guaranteed money by like $10 million this year.
Yeah, he walks away with
the 35. I believe the 35 was 25 plus a $10 million buyout for the option, I believe.
Baseball Reference has 35 and then a $5 million buyout for next year if the team did not pick up his $30 million option. Sonny Gray is making $41 million this year. So the way it looks to me is he makes $1 million more than he had guaranteed. And if he has a good year, the team won't just pick up his team option. He will get to test the market again.
Sonny Gray's making $41 million in his age 36 season. What a savage. That's awesome. I should have been a big league pitcher. I don't know why I chose not to do that.
I got to find the answer to this.
So I have it right here. Rosenthal tweeted this out. So Sonny Gray was traded, blah, blah, blah. Contract being reworked to a one-year deal plus a mutual option. 31, $10 million buyout. Previously, it was a $35 million for 2026, $5 million buyout. $30 million club option for 20. So it went from a club to a mutual option.
AKA from a club option to not having an option. So the Reds mutual option gets that.
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to figure out. I see why it benefits Sonny Gray to do it. I just don't see why it benefits the Red Sox. Yeah. And I'm wondering if it was just done for him to facilitate the no trade.
Flexibility.
So Sonny Gray winds up with $1 million more in guaranteed money, his inducement for waiving his no-trade clause. So yeah, it sounds like they just kind of sweetened the pot for him to accept it. Yeah.
Right.
Cool. Makes sense.
Yeah. It is what it is. I mean, I doubt they... I mean, if they... That's the other thing, is like the comp to Lucas Giolito. I mean, in the end, there's a good chance that next year, like the Red Sox wouldn't want to pick up a $30 million team option on Sonny Gray, who would be entering his age 37 season at that point. But... The comp, I tweeted this out, and this is something that's going to – I'm not saying that they made the wrong decision here, but it is something that's going to make me compare these guys throughout the entirety of next season. The Red Sox essentially chose to part with Brandon Clark and Richard Fitz and pay Sonny Gray $21 million instead of just paying Lucas Giolito $22 million?
Yes.
Like, you have to like Sonny Gray a lot more than Lucas Giolito for that to make sense.
Do you guys see that that spray chart I sent to our chat where most, like about 90% of the hard contact that Sonny Gray gave up in 2025 was to right center field, which is the biggest part of Fenway Park. And it's also the area where two gold glovers are patrolling at all times. I think we always kind of make fun of like, this guy has a good swing for Fenway, or this pitcher is good for Fenway. But that one, it's kind of like, and he gives up the second lowest air pull percentage in Major League Baseball to righty. So he's not going to be, well, knock on wood, here it is again, hopefully not giving up a ton of home runs over the monster. I just think he's a, and this is rare, a good fit as a pitcher for Fenway.
I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but we're on the same boat. Sonny Gray is exponentially better than Lucas Giolito, yes?
He's an upgrade. He's not like, I don't think he's way better, but he's an upgrade.
I disagree. His strikeout numbers are way more, doesn't walk guys.
I think Giolito is going to be much better in 2026 just because he's going to have a normal offseason and a full buildup, and he hasn't had that in like,
he was also great last year. Like, I understand that Sonny Gray underperformed his metrics. Like, there should be some positive regression here. But at the same time, like, again, this is a guy who we know who he is. He's 36. It's not like, oh, he's had a couple of years, but the metrics look good, so you're going to unlock a couple of things and he's going to take off. Like, no, this guy is who he is. And Sonny Gray had a 4.28 ERA last year. Lucas Giolito had a 3.41. And I'm not saying that Lucas Giolito necessarily was going to do that again. I understand how it ended with the elbow thing, and I understand how it looked with the metrics. But if Sonny Gray gives you what Lucas Giolito gave you last year, that's a massive win for the Red Sox. That's a win for him to give you exactly what you had.
Is he the shortest starting pitcher in Major League Baseball now that Marcus Stroman's kind of gonzo or not really playing? Sonny Gray's 5'10". That's my height.
No way he's 5'10".
That's all. He's 5'10". Yeah.
Bayo's small.
That's got to be a lie.
No, Bayo's like 6'1", isn't he?
No way, dude.
That's also a lie if he's listed as 6'1". We've stood next to Bayo.
I'm taller than Brian Bayo.
And Brian Mayo's listed as 6'1". There's no chance. There's also
6'1".
We'll find out because I'm 5'9 and 3/4". I'm not going to say I'm 5'10 because I'm not a liar. If I'm taller than Sonny Gray, we'll take note.
I would love for the Red Sox to get some players that I'm taller than. I'm right around the same height as you, Gordo, and I hate how I look standing next. Like Giolito's 6'6". He makes me look like an infant when I stand next to him. God, it's embarrassing.
God. So in synopsis, are we in agreement that this move is TBD in judgment, right? Like, we can't judge it. Because, like, Sammy, at the beginning, you're talking about how you like the move, but then, like, 15 minutes later, you're saying how it's a disaster if he's the best starting pitcher they get. So we all agree that this is, we are in TBD mode, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I like the move because I strongly think they're going to add another starter. If they don't, then I take that back and I don't like the move. So, yes, to fully judge it, we have to wait to see what happens next.
It's like we're all in agreement about where we stand, but I'm looking at it through a negative lens and you're looking at it through a positive lens.
You catastrophize. You do it so much. You like torture yourself by like doing these equations in your head and they always end negatively. That's why I'm always like, wait and see. Let's see what happens. I never know.
But
we remember how mad we were when Max Fried signed with the Yankees. We heard the Red Sox were in on him. And then I think it's the next day or the same day, like right after, Red Sox get Garrett Crochet. So we just, if there's one thing we know about the Boston Red Sox is they are always unpredictable. And whenever we think they're going to zig, they zag, vice versa. So that's why I can't get too far ahead in the future. To me, the Red Sox just added a good starting pitcher. I think he's the four. He's raised the floor of the rotation. He's raised the floor of the pitching staff in general. That is good. Let's see who they add next.
That's the thing. So I agree with you. I do think they're going to add another starting pitcher. Whether it be now or at the deadline, I do think that they will get a number two starter that in theory they want to build the rotation around, the guy that co-anchored the rotation with Crochet. I think that'll come. But the reason I'm kind of dooming here a little bit is because I put together the math for them to sign two legitimate bats, trade for one of the lesser the guys who, one of the starting pitchers who makes less money, Joe Ryan, Peralta, one of those guys making $5.5 million or $8 million, and you trade half of Yoshida's contract, you trade Duran, you end up probably $6 to $8 million under the second CBT line if you do that. Now they've added Sonny Gray's $21 million, and that doesn't fill the number two starter spot. That doesn't fill either of the big bat spots. So unless the Red Sox are blowing past the second CBT, which is not impossible, but we just haven't seen it in a long time. Like, to me, that's the reason I'm kind of dooming here, Sammy, is because even though, yes, like, it's unpredictable, anything can happen, I just don't think they have the ammo to make two significant trades to acquire a number two starter and a middle of the order bat via trade. So that's, I look forward and I don't see them getting all three of the things that I think they need.
I don't either, but I don't think they need. I think if you get Bregman and then a complimentary bat, you have a good lineup and you can address that at the deadline. That's a lot easier than a rotation spot. So that's why I'm not doom and gloom about it.
Who's a complimentary bat when you say that? Like, because we're talking
all the guys that Pat doesn't like.
Like, if we're talking, I think Wilson Contreras is too expensive. I think Okamoto is too expensive. I think Suarez is too expensive. I think Polanco might be getting there. Like,
yeah, someone like Polanco, there's Donovan, there's who else? I think Okamoto maybe. That guy's tough to predict.
But they don't have the ammo to get the starting pitcher and Brendan Donovan without draining their system. Like, they could do it, but they shouldn't do it.
I think they have a pretty good war chest of pieces to move. There's also the chance that they offload Yoshida somehow, and that creates 18.6 of CBT space.
Even if they do, though.
There's also a little loophole in here where they do find a number two from a team that would want a Jaren Duran.
Like, well, that's what I think will
Miami
happen.
If Miami is trying to contend and they're willing to shell out Sandy, Duran plus pieces for Sandy, like, that could work. Cincy for whoever else, dude, whatever it is.
You know what would be so annoying?
There's Fitz.
Imagine if it's Duran for Noah Cameron and that's your rotation.
Here's the thing. If it's
Gordo,
if it's
would Miami, be so mad. I'm just thinking of Rage Gordo.
Say, like, that's the thing is, like, it has to be one of the lower money-making guys because you just added Sonny Gray at 21. You need to be able to pay a free agent. Sandy makes $17.3 million next year. Like, unless the
it's
Red Sox are
bad.
About to... It's not that bad, but you just added $21 million. You're $20 million away from where you were last year, and you Gordo. Still need two big bats and a big-time starting pitcher.
Joe Ryan, Mackenzie Gore, Freddie Peralta. All dirt cheap.
Yes.
Three options right there. And there's probably other ones that we haven't thought. Chris Bubich,
okay.
If you like that.
Agreed.
I'm not really
Agreed.
Into that.
Agreed, Sammy. But where do the bats come from then? Because I agree. I think they can trade for a starting pitcher, whether it be now or at the deadline. They've got the ammo. I think that's what happens. Where do the bats come from?
You have money to spend. You have prospects to trade. There's so many avenues. You can't preclude the Red Sox from adding these guys. I still think they bring back Bregman. And then I think they add another bat. And again, you have a full season of Roman Anthony, who we all think is going to be an all-star caliber player at the age of 21. I almost never say this about prospects, but I think he's going to be an all-star caliber player in year two. And I feel confident about that. You have him probably at the top of the order, Bregman in addition. Then you have Willier Abreu, who Alex Cora just said on Section 10, they're going to keep him in against lefty. So he's going to be an everyday guy. Bet you get 30 home runs from him. There's a high ceiling on this team, even if they don't get two big bats. And there's the trade deadline if you really need to adjust stuff. Haven't mentioned Casas, by the way. Haven't mentioned Meyer. These are guys with huge... Christian Campbell. They have a ton of ammo. If one of those three guys starts hitting well in 2026, you
this
feel great.
But this
it's
is
the same thing that you guys were saying about the rotation.
No, because we're talking about the back of the rotation. You're talking about the middle of the lineup.
I like the middle of the lineup. I just listed three guys. Your first three guys. Do you not love Anthony, Bregman, Abreu? I love that. That's awesome. So, I think Willier's going to be a freaking monster in year three.
I love Anthony. Bregman is not on the team. Abreu has never hit lefties and has never hit 30.
I think they're
going to.
I think
he's
going
to be a really good player. But to say he's the three hitter, that's to me a stretch.
It's a stretch. Story. I didn't even mention Story. Fuck.
Abreu for me is like, that's the wild card here. Because that's a guy who, if he is healthy, if he is playing every day, he's been a guy who has consistently sat around a 120 OPS plus. He was 116 last, or 24, 118, I believe, in 2025. that is a guy who, if he is healthy, you can bank on hitting 260 to 275 at least. He hit 22 home runs this year, and he missed a ton of time, wasn't playing against lefties. That is a guy who has 30 home run potential. The scary thing is that last word I just said, potential. Like, yeah, it's scary not to have anything set in stone that you can absolutely guarantee, like a Pete Alonso, an Alex Bregman, a Kyle Schwarber, a Bo Bichette. But there is a high ceiling there. I agree with Sammy. There is a high ceiling as is.
Yeah.
Still scary not to have a guarantee.
That's the thing, is like, I will never argue against the ceiling of any of these guys. Like, when we talked, I think it was the last show or two shows ago, about the amount of guys that the Red Sox have that you can reasonably not lock in 20 home runs plus, but you could reasonably expect 20 home runs plus. It's a lot. And with that comes 30 plus home run upside. Like, it's there, but there are no guarantees. And if they re-sign Bregman, there are still no guarantees. And if you sign Alonso and that's the bat, then you're losing Alex Bregman. And we've talked over and over again about how valuable that guy is to the team. If they sign Alonso and Bregman leaves, what do you think is the second base, third base? Like, what do you, like, Sammy, is the secondary, if they sign Alonso, then, or Schwarber for that matter, then first base and DH are set. And it's about, where are you going to play Marcelo Meyer? And if it's at second, then who's playing third? And if it's at third, then who's playing second?
I think if the addition is Alonso, then they put, and not Bregman, they put Meyer at third. And then second base is, I think they add a second baseman. I think it's someone like Donovan.
Which would be great.
Ha-Sung Kim.
Why do you not like Ha-Sung Kim? He had like one down year. He's been good for years.
He's not like,
He's not a middle of the order bat.
No, but he's not. He wouldn't be acquired to be a middle of the order bat.
But we need, that's what we need
so bad in 2025.
He was hurt and he got traded. I don't know. I like him. He's not great, but like, if they add him, he's not being added to hit third. He's gonna be hitting like seventh.
His value is shortstop defense, and the Red Sox have committed to a shortstop.
Yeah, he also plays second, third. Like, he's good everywhere.
But like, why sign him for defense if you're not gonna put him at the most important defensive position?
No, I don't think they will. I just don't think it's fair that how Pat talks about him. Like, he's some terrible guy who's going to hurt your team. Like, he's solid. He does a lot of things well. He can hit a little bit. Great defense. Runs well. Like, not my first pick, but I wouldn't be upset if the Red Sox got him.
I don't think he's a bad player. I just don't think he's a fit for the Red Sox.
Yeah, he's not a perfect. They'd have to move some things around for it to make sense. Like, they'd have to not bring Bregman back, and then you have Meyer at third, and you put Kim at second, and then you sign Alonso, and then your DH is somebody else who hits for power because you need to replace that production.
How many years does Brandon Donovan have left? He has 26. He has 2 years left. I'm just trying to think of guys that, like, because if they sign Alonso or Schwarber, like, I'm okay now on the power. Like, I'll shut up about the home runs. If you get the one guy, I'll shut up about it. The other bat that you add doesn't necessarily need to be exactly that. Like, I think it should be Alex Bregman because of all the intangibles and the player that we saw in the first half. But if you get Alonso or Schwarber, I'm going to shut up about the homers. It could just be a good quality player.
I mean, that's what's so annoying about it, is you should just bring back Bregman and then sign Alonso, and you trade for that second starting pitcher, and great, you are a World Series contender. You're probably the best team in the American League, but they just won't do it. And again, like I said last episode, I could rant about the Red Sox not spending money all day long till I'm blue in the face, but again, it'd be like, hey, Gordo, when the sun goes down, it's dark. Did you know that? It's just not interesting. So
you love darkness.
Frustrating.
You guys want to hear something horrifying?
Yes.
Just thought of this. Little dark, twisted thought. If they go Alonso, there's like well above a non-zero chance that Seydon Rafael is your second baseman. They keep Durant.
This is not happening.
0% chance.
0%. None. Seydon Rafael will be their center fielder.
Dude.
The Gordo guarantee on that.
Yeah, Pat, there's no way. Especially with Sonny Gray. Didn't you see that spray chart?
I am not pulling for it. I'm just saying they've shown.
No way. It's not.
They've shown some.
In desperation.
Aptitude, I don't know what the word is, to play Seydon at second base. And then that would open a spot in the outfield for Campbell as well. I'm just saying it's a non-zero chance.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
I think there's a non-zero chance that Campbell, and I know they've heavily implied outfield, but if they bring in Alonso or Schwarber,
don't.
I think there's a no, I mean, they've already talked about how they're not giving up on him at second base. I'm certainly not giving up on him at second base.
If the Red Sox had Alonso and Campbell,
it would be bad. I agree.
On the right side. Would that be the worst defensive in? How could you advocate
it would,
for that?
It would have
a bad
to be
defense?
Schwarber. I agree. I would not want that. You're right. But it would have to be Schwarber in that case. You're right.
I was thinking about this today. I don't hate the idea of bringing up Campbell being like, hey, you're an outfielder, but you're going to mostly DH. We just want you to hit. And then sometimes you're going to play left field when Roman needs to DH, get him off his feet. He had an injury last year. Sometimes maybe you'll even play center field because you did that last year, but ideally you don't. So just be ready to hit. Kind of think about that today. I don't hate that.
I'm very much in favor of using him in like the Ben Zobrist role, like mass, like the complimentary. Like,
wait, you like, but Ben Zobrist played second, short, left, first.
Opposite, like outfield, a little bit of like first if they need, like just kind of popping around where he's needed just to play 140 games. Because his hit tool is his best tool by a country mile. I actually think he's okay in the outfield defensively. But if he can play both left field, center field, mix in at first base, in a squeeze second base, that's all right. Like, I can live with Campbell doing that. I can live with that because it gets his bat in the lineup if it returns to where it should be, and I have no doubt it will.
It's tough because I think he's capable of doing all of these things. I just think you have to make sure the bat is right first. So, like, I think you got to put him in one spot and just lock him in there. And once you know like he's good when it comes to hitting big league pitching, then that's when you can try to work him in defensively elsewhere. Like what I would do is I would start him in AAA. You have the three out. You trade one of your outfielders. You got the other three outfielders. The second someone goes down, Campbell's in there. And if he's hitting, that's when like he should not stop working at some of these other positions, like at second base. But to me, like he can be your second baseman after the outfielder gets back, if he proves he can hit big league pitching. But until he proves he can hit big league pitching again, I don't know why we're putting all this other extra shit on his plate.
No, it's just a way to get him in the lineup. But I maintain what I said originally. I like him as a left field DH, and if you need him in center, if you need him to play first base in case of emergency, fine. But just let that kid hit. I hate how they handled Campbell in 2025. Looking back on it, like in the moment, I'm thinking this kid's invincible. He can do anything. But
I think we said it in the moment. I think when he started to struggle and they were working him out at first base, I think the sentiment on this podcast is, what are they doing adding more to his plate while he's struggling?
Well, at that time, I said, just keep him at first. Then they said, well, we're also going to play him at second. That's what I didn't like. I didn't mind them putting him at first if they stuck with it. That I just cannot. It was like Emmanuel Valdez level defense at second.
Yeah. I mean, clearly his best position would, if in a perfect world, it would be left field. Like, the only reason I keep advocating for second base is because the way the roster looks, second base is consistently the one position that always ends up opening up. But there's no doubt in my mind, like, left field would be his best spot. The question is he athletic enough to become a capable enough defender to hold down that spot if you can have good defenders at the other positions?
Who has been the most regular second baseman since Pedroia left?
Brock Holt?
That's like, what I was thinking. Out? Holt or
Jose? Okay, they had Peraza in 20. They had like Christian Arroyo.
Arroyo for a little
Kike
bit.
Kike Hernandez. It might be Kike. No, because he ended up playing center field most of the time. So why not Kike?
Jose Iglesias. Jose Iglesias was there for a hot second.
I think it's Holt. I think it has to be Holt, which is
story
crazy.
Story for 1 year. Who was the when Xander left? Story moved to short. Who was second base that year?
What year was that? 23? Arroyo, right?
Oh, well, yeah, it was probably Arroyo. Ew. No, when he wasn't playing right field in 2022.
That was Jeter, right. Jeter Downs for a couple of games here and there.
Saw his first big league hit.
I saw him hit a home run at Yankee Stadium. I had Yankee fans throwing popcorn at me because I was doing Jeter, Jeter.
What a dark time, dude. We had a guy named Jeter, and then a guy whose initials are N. York. Just too much.
Dude, Emmanuel Valdez.
Oh,
he's the shortstop.
Second least favorite Red Sox player ever.
Who's your least?
My first is, as a player, Bobby Dalbec. I've never hated watching a player more than I hated watching Bobby Dalbec. It was and I think it was mostly because so many people liked him, because apparently he was a great guy, and I get that. I'm sure he's a cool dude, but in terms of watching him as a Red Sox fan, holy shit, I have never hated anything more.
I dabble between Stephen Drew and Walker Buehler.
It's Walker Buehler, dude. Stephen Drew is a hero in Boston.
Oh, I hated the Stephen Drew experience. Just give him the keys to Xander. What are we doing?
Honestly,
winning the World Series?
Could
have won it quicker.
Had he played enough, would have, honest to God, been Blake Sable. He didn't play nearly enough to piss me off enough. I think my least favorite is probably Walker Buehler. Probably, I feel.
Let's go with this podcast.
Probably Walker Buehler. Yeah.
I didn't like Buehler either.
Oh,
I didn't like Walker Buehler because I waited so long for him to be good, and then he just never did. I'm like, you made me look like an idiot, Walker. I believed in you.
Kluber. Kluber's another one.
But you had to feel bad for Kluber.
I felt bad.
That was just tough. It was not a good watch.
Yeah.
You know who's brutal? This is unfair. I was going to say Matt Barnes.
Oh, but he was good for a sec, and he helped you.
Yeah, he had his.
He was an all-star. That's where it fell apart, but he was an all-star.
Was not here nearly long enough, but Matt Barnes reminded me. Richard Blyer. Blyer
was
ass, dude.
That's a tribesman, though.
I don't care.
Ass, dude. He was so bad.
No good. Yeah, there's a lot. It's tough for me to put a reliever in that category. Like, you could go Caleb Ort, but, oh, God.
Yeah.
Bobby Dalbec.
Yeah.
All right, let's do enough said. If anyone has any, because we're running a little bit on time. If anyone has something, Sammy, you got something big? Let's hear it.
Yeah, JT Realmuto to the Red Sox, rumor today. I don't, I for the life of me, I have no clue why they would want to do that.
I thought about it basically up until the second they traded for Sonny Gray, and I did not at any point come up with a reason why I thought it would be a good idea. So I'm out.
His defense is weird. Like, his blocking's not good. His framing's not good. I don't know if people still care about that with ABS coming, but he's got an outstanding arm and pop time. So it's like, it's okay, I guess. It's just inconsistent. And then the bat has big time fallen off. 91 OPS plus last year. So statistically below average. I just don't get. He's not a mentor, by the way. Pat, I think you commented, someone said like he could be a mentor, and you were like, dude, he's a $14 million mentor. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, so for me, I'm going to jump on with you as enough said here, because this is going to be mine. I saw that report, and I sat there just kind of racking my brain, thinking of what roster gymnastics they would have to do to make that make sense. He has a hose behind the plate. He still does. He's still like elite pop time, elite arm behind the dish. Can't frame, can't block. He calls a great game, but you can see how good Philly's pitching staff is. That is largely due to JT Realmuto behind the dish. But like below 100 OPS plus, right around 700 OPS, the pop is gone. The wheels aren't what they used to be. Like, he's just there. Don't get me wrong. Like, he's still a plenty serviceable catcher. There are definitely teams that would benefit greatly from having JT Realmuto, whether it be a team like the Rays or a team that's kind of, you know, young and up and coming, what have you, whatever. For me, it makes absolutely zero sense. If he was a guy that was going to get like 1 year, $5 million, absolutely sign me up, put him behind Narvaez, all this. This is a guy who's projected to make 3 years in the realm of like $42 to $45 million. There's no scenario where you should be signing JT Realmuto after the year Carlos Narvaez just had.
Okay, before I go to my enough said, I just pulled up the article Cotillo dropped and I'm skimming it. And just a quick line, and this is going to be a nice little wrap up to the podcast, says, but the early sense people around the league are getting is that the Gray move makes the Red Sox less likely to pursue another big name starter this winter, considering the need to commit some significant resources to the lineup before opening day. So we will marinate on that. You have it on authority from all of us. If it's the only starting pitching move that the Red Sox do this offseason, is definitely not good enough. My enough said is just happy Thanksgiving to everyone. Hope you and your families have a great day. Love the Thanksgiving break. It's one of the best. Like, I hate like the cold seasons. Like, nothing is good about them, but Thanksgiving is an exception. Thanksgiving is a great holiday. Mac and cheese is my favorite Thanksgiving food. I said it on Nessa and I stand by it. And yeah, I hope the two of you guys have awesome Thanksgivings with your families. And I hope that anyone listening to this podcast has an awesome Thanksgiving with their families and then tunes in to play Tessie the very next day, because we'll have another show for you because we freaking post. Any last words before we wrap this thing up, guys?
Yay, baseball.
Yay, baseball. That's going to do it for episode 288 of Play Tessie. We appreciate you guys tuning in. Remember, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Rate 5 stars. You know the drill. And then find us on the socials at Play Tessie on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. For Sammy, for Pat, for Joe producing, it is Gordo here. We'll be back for a Who Says No Friday. Thanks for tuning in, guys. Peace.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday Doorbuster Deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time Doorbuster Deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.